heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Where do you go for inspiration? How do you pull in from inside your own strength? Because we're all saturated with these outside forces, and there's a tremendous amount of, well, stress, number one, but negativity. When you're getting into this time of year, and I'm thinking that we've all had, as I was telling you just the last couple of days here, I think Americans have been through certainly worst year on record that I've ever seen. I would imagine you as well, unless you've lived through the Depression and you're that much older. And even then, I don't know that it was the likes of what we're seeing right now with all of this overreach and the COVID business and the lockdowns and the elections and the, you know, it's, which is all fraught with negativity and stress and hate and that sort of environment. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about these United States of America and suggested we're not terribly united these days. In fact, it's very divided. Part of the problem of this all now is, you know, I think we could almost get through it ourselves and talk about our disagreements and what connects us as a people at the water cooler, as I say to you all the time. But the problem is you've got the media and you've got the social media, but you've got that constant drumbeat. And they haven't played too kindly into any of the things that we're dealing with right now. It's been a one-sided affair. And so we look around and we see all the negativity. Now, I'm thinking as we get into the holidays, how do we rebuild ourselves? You know, we really have to recharge our souls is the way I look at it. I know for me, there are a lot of things I have to do as an individual to absolutely recharge my soul. You can't keep going 100% with this, the hostilities in a negative environment and feel good about things. Certainly feel good about life, feel good about yourself. You know, we've been seeing the rise in the stress of, well, depression in this country, suicides, things that, and people that are just, they're struggling. You know, you forget sometimes how many people have lost their jobs, their careers, their livelihoods have been changed dramatically. And, you know, what I feel for a lot of the people that are in these states that are being run by, well, they're being run by socialist Marxist leader, political people, you know, that are taking control of the reins, and they've locked everything down. And far more than other places where you live, where you might be in a red state, where we say it's more of a conservative type governor versus who certainly has a lot more leeway and flexibility. You know, there are some sort of rules still in place, probably in most places, I think. But then you get to these other places and, wow, it's like you've entered a whole nother country. Doesn't even seem like the United States of America. You know, don't invite people to your home for dinner. I hear the strangest of stories, like neighbors watching out for neighbors. And if you have more than 10 people, they'll call the police. And there's a lot of those kinds of stories going around that seem like they're so far-fetched. But they appear to be what's accurate. I mean, I haven't had this interaction in my own life, so I can't speak about it from firsthand knowledge. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, there are people who, and we're seeing those stories that it's actually happened, and where people are calling each other out. And they tend to do that sometimes. I mean, in a lot of different, especially when you come through an election season, like we've just come through very clearly. So right now, what I suggest is, as we're all moving forward and we've had this constant drumbeat of negative news and really a horrific year for the entire nation, I don't think really truthfully anybody has been unscathed from the pain factor here to some degree. I think everybody has probably struggled and suffered to some level. I don't know of anybody who's just had scot-free and living high on the life and feel like, wow, this has been a great year. 2020 is, we're killing it, man. It's terrific. I mean, all kinds of things are happening. I mean, you know, you don't hear those stories right now. They're more on the other side. So what I'd like to do today is kind of, you know, try to turn off the doom and gloom a little bit. And as we now approach into the holiday season and really talk about a bigger story about how do we give thanks, first of all, in the midst of the madness out there? How do we recapture our lives? And how do we plan for what's going to be ahead as well? And there are some telltale signs and steps I think we can all take to do that. I know for me there are, for sure, and I'll share some of them with you today. But before I do that here, I'd like to bring on Ron Edwards onto the program. Haven't talked in quite a while here. And I said, Ron, you got to come on here to me today, and we've got to talk on all of this because, hey, you've got a great article up on the platform on America Out Loud, and I love it. And you'll see it up there, giving thanks in the midst of the madness. But it reaches back to our strengths. And he's just talking about, you know, not letting other people define you. So rather, this whole thing about hate. And let's start there, Ron. It's a good starting point here. A lot of the times when there's negative energy around us, that negative energy can define us as a people. And that hate factor rubs off. And then you want to, and I know a lot of people like this. Then they want to go after people like with a vengeance, you know, like, I hate that SOB. There is a line in that as well. Like, how much do you keep taking from somebody before you turn the channel or pop them in the mouth, Ron, you know? Kind of thing, I guess. That doesn't sound good, I know that, especially coming into the holidays. But what's the recipe for how we deal with all this right now as people try to enter a new mindset in their lives? What do you think?
Well, first of all, it is Christian to fight back. I just want to slip that in there. In the Bible, it plainly states that we are not obligated whatsoever to adhere to or bow down and grab our ankles and obey unjust laws.
Hold on. I love that. I love that, buddy. Now, let's talk about what you say there, please, before you keep going. That's great. But help me define that. I like what you're talking about. Now, let's explain to people, because, Ron, okay, I think we're talking about the difference between a victim and a victor, or somebody that's taken advantage of somebody. Don't become a victim to whatever the situation is. But
correct.
I think that's right. But help me out a little bit, because when I just want to make sure I clear this up, because when I made the comment before you said what you said, I talked about popping somebody in the mouth. And I don't necessarily think that's supposed to be the game plan, is it?
It's not. That's not the game plan. But what I'm referring to, I'll give you an example.
Excellent.
Governor Whitmer here in Michigan is proclaiming that thou shalt not have any open businesses, thy restaurants, nor thy gyms, nor thy churches, nor thy whatever barbershop shall be opened, because of that is my decree. Well, this time around, more and more of the business owners are saying, no, we're not going to bow to this, because that will kill our businesses and our livelihoods forever. And many of them are just saying, forget it and stay open. I witnessed that just last evening when I was out and about. I said, boy, it looks very, very normal out here. All the traffic and many of the businesses are open. All the lights are on, this, that, and the other. And I said, this looks good. The only problem is that there's no Christmas decorations, hardly, which is kind of sad. But other than that, there was a lot of normal activity. Restaurants were open, things of that nature.
So why is that? And people are not paying attention to the edicts, you mean?
They're not. They're not going to bow to it. They are using common sense in their minds. Certain businesses should, you know, if they say you have to wear a mask to come in, I will wear my mask. That's a private business owner, and I respect that if I want to go in there. And that's fine. But at least they're not so draconian where they're willing to sacrifice their own business on the altar of Governor Whitmer, who wants to literally kill our economy to put us under the need for government help, which would run out because the government gets their money from what? The activity of businesses, mm-hmm. Both small, medium, and large. But that they don't care about that. But see, the positive side to this, as we are entering into the Christmas season, is that people are not as much bowing to these unlawful, unconstitutional, anti-Bill of Rights demands. We are not required to do so. And as more and more people awaken to that reality, along with the several sheriffs who have already said that they are not going to follow orders and try to arrest people that are having normal family gatherings for Thanksgiving, They said they're not going to do that. They happen to have families themselves, and they think that it is wrong, and they know it is wrong constitutionally, which, you know, the Constitution doesn't give us rights. It only recognizes our rights, thank God. But Malcolm,
but it's up to you to take your rights, right? I mean, yeah. It's up to you to secure your rights.
That's the positive side in all of this. Even if we have to react stringently,
right.
Reacting to these things, however we have to, that, in my opinion, also is positive.
Mm-hmm.
Just being nice for the sake of being nice, that is not necessarily positive, because you could be setting yourself up to be more abused.
Right.
And so as true Christians, we have to be willing to positively fight against what is wrong and evil, against our inalienable rights, because the longer we take to do that, Malcolm, the more difficult our lives will be.
Right.
And we do not want to reach the point where they are in Venezuela and other nations,
right,
which allowed themselves, where the people there allowed the full throttle to kick in. And by the time they decided to protest against it, which they did, I think it was last year, the year before, it was too late.
That's right. Yeah.
Can't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You're exactly right. I mean, I use the analogy of the frog in the water all the time. And that's a frog deal, what you're talking about there. I mean, it becomes too late because it is boiling over pretty much. You know, you mentioned the mask there a moment ago, which is a perfect case right now. Many of these mayors and governors have really gone way beyond. In fact, I want to share with you, Ron, and share with listeners. There's a really terrific piece up on the platform on America Out Loud right now that talks to what you're talking about, Ronnie. It's called Pandemic Policing, The Rise of National Socialism in America. It's just up there. It's from Dr. Ron Martinelli, and it goes to exactly what you're saying, where the common sense factor is, Ron, with the law enforcement factor, the police officers. You know, the questions are, how many of those follow these unconstitutional edicts that are being put out by these mayors and governors, versus how many will use common sense and stay away from those things? And back to what you're saying, well, things look okay out in the neighborhood right now because people are not really paying attention to what the governor is selling. You know, okay, terrific. But then why do we even bother? Why do the people of those states even elect those governors and those mayors? We don't have the answer for that, do we? Right? I mean, really, though.
Oh, there's an answer.
Go ahead.
You may not like it, or they won't like it, but ignorance, it's a combination of things, Malcolm, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an honest answer. A combination of ignorance, stupidity, hatred of people like Donald Trump or Republicans who want more liberty in our nation because they've been brainwashed to such a point, whether they're either ignorant or just filled with hatred towards what this country is. And I can tell you firsthand that there are many, many people, more than you would care to know, that are in favor of what governors like Whitmer, Wolf of Pennsylvania, and Governor Newsom of California, Cuomo of New York, and the list goes on and on.
Lightfoot.
Governor of Illinois.
Bunch of them.
Yeah, Lightfoot. Oh, Lord have mercy. These people, there are millions of people that agree with that because they disdain the United States to the point that they're willing to live like a Venezuelan, if it means the destruction of the United States. They're okay with that. And there are millions of people that literally believe that. I am not exaggerating. I am not trying to be funny at all. I am telling you the hard, the ever-loving truth about this. Now, you mentioned something earlier. You talked about division. Well, there's division and there's not division. There's two sides. And I don't look at that necessarily as division. You've got one side that's united in an effort to destroy the country, and you have the other side that's united in the effort to not just maintain our country, but to make her better, make her more in line with what she was meant to be when the founding fathers wrote the script. And so we're united on this side. You, myself, and millions of others, we are united in the effort to maintain and build upon this constitutionally limited republic, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all, so on and so on. We are destined, and here's the positive aspect of this, My friend, we are destined to see these individuals on the other side fall in their effort to destroy this republic at this time. This is not even our time as a nation to collapse. Mm-hmm. I know people all over this wonderful planet that are literally praying for this nation because they understand. My friends in England, a few in Australia, a few in Israel, well, a lot of them in Israel, who are clamoring and praying every day because they know that if the United States allows herself to succumb to what Biden and company wants to bring about, they know that their gooses are cooked.
Yeah.
In the Middle East, you talk about positivity. We've had a wonderful peace agreement between five nations and Israel. Well, four and a fifth one is coming on board. That's unheard of. And that's brought about because of strong, fair leadership in this republic, not kissing their butts or anything like that, not giving them pallets of cash or whatever, just laying out principles and giving them a common sense argument on how to acquire a better life and how Israel is a blessing to that part of the world. And if you ever visit Israel, you will understand how it is such a blessing. Now, I have friends in Bermuda, relatives in Bermuda, who are saying the same thing. Folks in Cornwall, England, elsewhere, Australia, Melbourne, and they're all in love with this country. There are more people around this world that love this country than you would imagine. Mm-hmm. And they understand what America means more so than, okay, I'll say half of our population here in this country. That's the positive aspect of all that is going on. We must unite with these people. Mm-hmm. We can't, of course, physically unite, but we can spiritually through prayer and thought and actions. As we are in this wonderful Christmas season, my favorite time of the year, we must use this time to not fall into fear concerning what the left wants to do in this country. I will tell you that what they are continuing to report is about to happen, will not happen on January 20th, that we will have a second installment of the Trump administration, though it does not look like it right now.
Right, right.
Though it does not, but you know, there are things that are going to drop mm-hmm. that are going to make this, what I'm yeah. saying, to be very true.
Yeah, and I'm actually hearing from many different types of people, a lot of Christian friends, a lot of others who absolutely believe that what you say there is true. They are absolutely 100% believe and confirmed that this thing does a complete roundabout here and that the evidence does surface somehow. And I hadn't talked to you before now, but you're convinced of it as well, huh?
Oh, absolutely, because I'm not only convinced on it because of the facts that I understand that have been brought to my attention that are going to be dropping very soon. But I knew this before Trump was elected the first time that he would have a second term. This is not something like, oh, wow, okay, I'm not a Johnny come lately on this issue. That Trump is destined for a second term. There's a reason for that. To secure the turnaround of this republic and the continuation of this as a great nation for an amount of time. And I think you are a student of history, Malcolm. How many times throughout history, both biblical and secular, has it looked like, oh boy, it looks like it's over, folks. It's over. Yeah. But yet at the last moment, you ask the men if one day when you get to heaven and you ask the great heroes who fought for this republic. Many of them died with their feet frozen to the ground at Delaware or wherever. And yet the British, which was the superpower of that time, was not able to defeat the United States, the nation soon to be the United States. Second World War, we didn't realize that off our eastern shore were German submarines that could have done huge damage. We did not realize in many cases when the children of Israel were heading across the Red Sea. One day I would love to have a conversation with the last Israelites who are heading out of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is barreling down on them, and they see it and they hear the hoofs of those big horses coming after them, and they know, oh my God, here they are. And yet, before they reached the shore, what happened? The Red Sea caved in on them and it was over. But many times throughout history, many battles in our Civil War, where it looked like, oh my God, the South is actually going to win. And then there was a turn of events towards the end, and then there was victory. We are in one of those seminal moments of time.
Do you think those are, do you think that's all based on divine intervention? Now, think about this a moment. Are you speaking about divine intervention with the things you point out now, or is it something else, Ron?
A combination. Because with divine intervention, you still have the soldiers carrying out their duties. You still have governments doing what they have to do, but they're because of divine intervention, the soldiers doing the right thing obtain the victory.
Yep.
The Battle of Jericho. I mean, they're just examples one after another, and even in our own nation.
Right, right. Well, the bigger thing we're talking about here, which you referenced a little bit already, and it's a perfect place and time to talk about, is the fight of good versus evil. That is really the argument and the discussion I always put forth, Ron, when it comes to these kinds of things. That's the purpose of our platform at America Out Loud. It's the purpose of this show, The Voice of a Nation, was all based on that fight of good versus evil. That's how we launched this whole thing. And yet, we're talking about divine intervention in these moments of time. And we talked about the 2020 election. Let's stay on there a moment here in this divine intervention. And let me understand, there are those who believe, and I'm curious to know what you believe in this regard, but there are many who believe that God has it all handled, God has it all figured out, and God will fix X, Y, and Z. And they truly believe that no matter what. And they will go right over the edge, whatever that edge is, based on the fact that God's in control, he's got it all figured out. Do you subscribe to that theory?
God is in control, but he uses us. He utilizes us with our brains, with our efforts, with our skills to get the job done. When George Washington was shot through by the Indians, and there were literal bullet holes in his jacket, but yet his body was unharmed, he still had to swing his sword or shoot his musket or whatever and do what he had to do in the battle, even after his horse was shot out from under him. When I think it was in New York, at one of the great battles of the Revolutionary War, when the British were surrounding them, they knew it was over, but then there was a huge fog that rolled in, and then the revolutionary soldiers were able to escape, get to a better position, and defeat them on another day. It's not like God just rolls down here and we just sit and watch like we're watching television and he just does stuff. He blesses us with wisdom, and we utilize that wisdom if we are in tune with him, and we get the job done. Can I share another example? In my own column, I talked about Frederick Douglass a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy, he said, screw waiting for Lincoln or somebody to free me. He chose to free himself. He said, I'm not going to go along with this. And he chose to educate himself. He chose to make himself a superior individual because that was his choice. Many others could have followed his example, but they were lazier in their mindset or whatever, and they didn't. And long before Lincoln said, okay, you can go, by the time Lincoln told the slaves they were free, he was educated, on his way to becoming a wealthy man of means, and was becoming the greatest orator in the 19th century. But we all, like Frederick Douglass, have to make a personal choice to be great. We have to make a personal choice to be on the right side of history and to be in position so that when we are to be utilized in this effort, in whatever our metron is,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We can do the best in what we're doing. You're a great communicator. You are a truth teller. You provide opportunity for many others to tell the truth and get the message out there. your effort is growing, and as are others. You are, when you say the media is telling lies and this, that, and the other, well, I partially beg to differ. You are also a media situation. I'm a media situation. There's new media that's coming forth. CNN's going to soon die, and she's going to be replaced. I see this coming, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it going to be easy? No, I didn't say that.
Right.
But
right.
it's going to be all hard, right. But it's worth the fight.
Right. So I like what you're saying, and it's great. I mean, people can hear the words of wisdom are good, and the words you haven't used that I want to fit into the puzzle you're building right now, Ron, is, and I believe I agree with most of what you say there, pretty much. But it all falls under what I call, free will. Man has free will. I mean, that's what God put man here. We have brains. We are making those decisions, as you just stated, accordingly. There are people who still believe that somehow their free will is, overridden by what God wants or doesn't want. Like he's going to fix everything that man screws up with somehow. And I don't believe that's the case at all. I think we create these massive problems for ourselves. And I don't think God's playing cleanup all the time. You know what I mean? You know, that makes sense.
You know what? You're right. But when people reach out to him, as the founding fathers did, as the North did in the Civil War, they reach out to him. No, he doesn't come down with a mop and swab the deck for us. Right. But he gives us the strength and the power to overcome the evil and get the job done. So those who choose his side, the right side, are given the opportunity to get the job done, no matter how rough the battle may be.
That's exactly.
And that's what. And I've heard, you know, I won't describe them, but I've heard individuals just talk that way, like, well, you know, it's all in God's hands and there's nothing we can do. No, when I hear people talk like that, I run away from them.
Oh, there's a lot of those people, Ron. They're all over the place. I hear them all the time. You know, they really are.
Well, I'm sorry. They're just in the way. Seriously.
Well, you see that a lot. I don't even comment on it because I don't go to the back and forth. But truth be told, Ron, I see those comments all the time, the limited time I ever am on social media, which is really seconds. But I see some of those messages. Don't worry about it. God's got it all handled. He's in control. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, come on, people. You think he put us all here on the earth and gave us all brains and free will to do what we're supposed to do, and somehow he's going to be playing cleanup after our trash all the time? I mean, come on. Don't work that way.
I mean, because if that were the case, Venezuela would be fixed. If that were the case, China would be different. If that were the case, China wouldn't be building a military base in Venezuela now, capable of wreaking havoc upon us because of what happened during the Ali Obama administration. No, we create messes, or we, in this case, allowed a mess. And it's up to us to seek his wisdom. He said it. In fact, he said, to back up what you're saying, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord says, seek him, pray to him, ask forgiveness for your madness, and I will hear from heaven, and I will heal your land. Meaning, you felt idiot humans, I will bless you with the ability to overcome the evil which you have allowed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Therefore.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. You're so right.
All right. Well, I got a lot of things on my mind right now as we're talking to folks. And let me remind everybody here, we're speaking with Ron Edwards. And so Ron is... I'll tell you more of how he came into this. I got a little story to tell you when we come back from the pause in a moment here about a few different things here. But let me tell you first, Ron does an amazing commentary piece called The Edwards Notebook Commentary. And it absolutely, as you know, plays on America, Out Loud Talk Radio, and we're thrilled to have it. It's terrific. Ron does a great job, and you'll hear it. It runs at various times. I never really know when it's running, but the system does, and the radio studio does, and they're terrific. They're always little words of wisdom, gems. I call them gems, if you will, so you can get a lesson or two out of 90 seconds. Basically, less than 90 seconds, you can find out a whole lot. So that's what he is, and of course, he's a weekly writer and columnist here at America Out Loud as well. Ron is an excellent voice. There's a lot of radio out there. And so I thought he'd be the perfect one to have this conversation with today. We haven't talked in a while. And I thought, you know, we need to get Ron's voice to be heard. So I reached to him in a very spontaneous way and said, Ron, let's get your voice on the platform here and talk a little bit here. So, well, listen, we are here on the Voice of a Nation here, and I am wishing you all happy, happy holidays. And of course, when I say happy holidays, I have to preface that I come back with Merry Christmas. Now, we're not there yet, but we're headed in that direction, very much so. But it is important to keep the Christ in Christmas, and I don't go for the Xmas kind of thing, number one. And the merry is just about let's be merry, let's be a little happy, let's count our blessings. Step back a moment here, as I say to you all the time. And there are ways we need to do that in our lives, and how you can pull in inner strength. I call it inner strength. And you've got to find the inner strength, no matter what's going on outside your window, whatever those distractions are with all the negativity or the nastiness or whatever, the media lies and deceit and evil. Again, people, it's always the fight of good and evil. It's always going to be that way. That's never going to change. We'll take a pause here. We'll be back in just a moment with more Voice of a Nation. Just after this.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
You know, we talk all the time, my fellow Americans, about the fight in good and evil, and this is no better time of the year, as well as any, to talk about that right now during the holiday season. We have all come through a very difficult year. I think the entire nation, as I've suggested to you in past days, my heart goes out to all Americans. And for those people who are in unfortunate situations, with a loss of job or income or other things, who are truly struggling right now, I'll tell you, my blessings to each of you. And I can only say I hope it begins to get better for all of us, for everybody across our great land. And I feel that pain, and you want to help people. You know, you want to reach out and lift all people up. But We also have to help ourselves out. And that's really how it's done here in this great nation. And again, part of that is prefaced with what we've been talking about with Ron Edwards here in the fight of good and evil. You know, let me tell you, Ron, a bit of a story here, and then also how you yourself came into this thing here as I'm talking to you right now. And it is with America Out Loud. It's a good time to tell the story and embrace the point of how we became who we are or what we are. And we launched America Out Loud in April 2016. In fact, Ron, it was April Fool's. It was April 1st. I thought that's a perfect day to launch this thing, right, Ron? And they'll think it's a joke, but it's really not, you know. And but we did launch it April 1st and on the network. Now, it was interesting at that time. We were just doing podcasts. We were not the talk radio network. We had not purchased all that and made all those moves. And that happened later that year. But it started with writers and columnists and podcasts and that sort of thing. I was doing a daily talk show in a top market. After having left the corporate boardrooms after 25 years, made a lot of changes in my life and decided it was time to go in a new direction. America Out Loud is it's a product and a program of God Almighty. That's where this network comes from. It's the purpose of this network. There is no other purpose than the fight of good and evil. And how do I know that? Well, it's a couple of ways I know it. And so I knew when I was a young boy, Ron, maybe about 15 years old, I knew that I was going to do something very unique in the world, and I knew that God had plans for me. And so when all this started to change in my life and the transition started to happen, and what was really amazing to me is this, and people say to me now, my golly, you have some incredible people involved in your network, or my golly, how did you find all these people and talent? And here's the secret to it, Ron. I didn't find anybody. They all found me. They all came into this program, our writers and our host and people that just were at the right place at the right time, or some door or window opened and there we were. And I've met some remarkable people. I've also met some remarkable people in the world of social media. That's another area that, see, I can only find good with it because I don't engage on the negative side of the stories. I've had really many blessings of finding terrific people out there. And so the telltale sign is when things line up accordingly and you start meeting the right people and those doors open, there's a reason for all that, Ron. Now, that's called, back to what you said before the pause a little while ago, that to me is called divine intervention. You understand? That's where things are happening purposefully to get to a certain point. Now, that doesn't mean God does all my cleanup, that he fixes everything that I screw up, Ron. That's not at all the way it is. And I don't suspect that's going to be the case. You know, you have to deal with your problems and you have to deal with the challenges, and we all have them. We all get them. Somehow, Ron, in all of this, a lot of those medias, you mentioned CNN, but there are a whole host of others, seems to me like they're fighting the evil fight. So I guess the question I would ask you now, or maybe we talk about, is why is media so negative? Why is it so much on the evil side? Yeah, there's some new media coming, but it's minor compared to the dominance and the megaphone that the media has, which you see how they just controlled the last election here, this election that we're still fighting right now. What do you make of that?
Well, as soon as we clean up our mess in the area of education, that will also help in turning things around, whether it's in the media, whether it's in just every aspect of society, but focusing on the media.
So true.
The condition of our current media is directly attributed to the type of education or indoctrination that these people have been receiving for the last 5 to 6 decades in American government schools. Once they centralized education, one size fits all, which ill affected the majority of American students, this is a byproduct of what's going on. You brainwash them in a certain way. You know, Lincoln, I think it was Lincoln, who said education you grant or give to one generation dictates the direction the nation takes in the next. And so this is what you have here. And so what has to happen there to siphon that off, which is beginning to gradually happen, is other education sources such as charter schools, private schools that are cleaned up, religious-oriented schools, Christian or religion-oriented schools, and the like, and allow them to grow. Now, I understand that speaking of the other side, the Biden administration, you know, the Biden people, that ilk, they want to totally do away with the ability to go to any charter, private, or Christian-oriented school to guarantee that everyone is mentally poisoned. But that's why we must fight like the Dickens to make sure it doesn't happen. But I mean, to if you look at CNN, if you look at Fox, if you look at some of these organizations and you see what's going on, is you can attribute it directly to the government school system. And then number
well
two,
said.
The church. Yeah. The church, 1,600 pastors, 1,600 of them, some of them you know, are world-renowned, are supporting Joe Biden, which is a total insult to God Almighty, because Biden and company support everything that God doesn't, whether it's murdering babies, whether it's enslaving people.
So why do they do it, Ron? Why do you think they do it?
Well, man, you don't want me to tell you. Okay, I'll give you a couple of good reasons. Number one, like everyone else who goes to these government school systems, they are brainwashed in a certain way. And it doesn't mean just because they have a come to Jesus moment, that doesn't mean they're not going to be socialist-oriented individuals anymore just because they come to Jesus. They have a misnomer that Jesus is a socialist, that he's for open borders, that he's okay with unnatural lifestyles, that he's okay with all the things that the left promotes now. And
drugs,
also,
crime, vandalism. I mean, you just keep down going jealousy. Down that list, yeah.
And there's jealousy, too. I've had personal conversations with certain ministers who voiced to me just a vehement, almost hatred of Donald Trump. And I asked them why. And they said, well, because of his philanderer as a young man. And I pointed it out. I said, look, sir, reverend, whatever you want to call yourself, you're only pointing to that. If you're still pointing to that as a reason to hate Donald Trump, that means you're a jealous old fool. I said, because probably when you were a young man, women were not attracted to you. So you're probably a jealous gump. And now you're just a religious bitter minister who doesn't even have a wherewithal to promote God's true love and his truth, which if you were a true representative of, you would support a Donald Trump who has changed his life, who is promoting all of the right things, even biblically, better than you ministers. And I said, you're just a jealous old coot. Mm-hmm. And this is what I said to the man's face. And so he didn't deny it. He got angry, but he didn't. He never told me, Ron, you're a liar. He never said that. And in fact, I've had that conversation with more than one minister. And to be so childish as a so-called man or woman of the cloth, because they're women of the cloth who are just as hateful towards the man. But see, these misrepresentations of what Christ is all about, these hypocrites, many of them are going to fall too. Don't think, you know, judgment begins in the house of the Lord before it even goes elsewhere, because they know better. And if their hindies are out there telling the lies or using God's truth to promote hatred and to help promote the destruction of this country that God loves, I hate to tell you this, sir, but they are going to be in big heap of trouble. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna be surprised in the not-too-distant future when some big names are going to come a-tumbling down, because they themselves, many of those who are pointing fingers at Trump or his past, are themselves guilty of it currently and of worse things. And so the church has to be cleaned out. So that's another reason why this country is in the state that it is in. But the good news is that is only a portion of the church. And the good side has been a little more quiet than it should have been, but it's becoming more vocal. And I believe it's because of the prayers of the good side. Millions of Americans have been praying, and they started, believe it or not, in earnest in 2013. And it has been growing ever since. And don't think that because it looks like the other side is going to get in, don't think that they're going that that's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that because it looks like it's going to happen on their behalf. Remember, Malcolm, this stuff has been building for not one, not two, not three, but 4 and 5 and 6 decades. So you cannot expect 6 decades or more of crud to be cleaned out, boom, just instantaneously like that, without a big struggle. Don't think that the other side is just going to go away, just because we say go. No,
that's right.
This
that's
is
right.
a real war,
and
a little
been,
war.
And there's been tremendous progress in the past few years with the Trump administration. There's been a lot of
Absolutely.
Progress. Yeah. In your recent column here, you say this very interesting. I want to read this. As we contend with the Democrats and their rhino partners attempting to enslave all of America today, we must first refrain from hurting ourselves through hate toward them, but rather
yeah.
through righteous indignation, defeat them and literally replace their evil with good. Let's talk about that for just a moment here, about replacing their evil with good. How do we do that, Ron?
Sir, what we do is that, for example, but let's because I love the running of cities. I love cities, and would love to be a big city mayor one day when I grow up. But let's look at a city, New York City, my favorite city in the world. It has been the greatest city in the world over the past few years. Mayor de blah blah has tried to literally destroy that city. Numerous policies have been enacted, and they've used, and he just accelerated his effort through the China virus situation, this scamdemic. And let's say the people get their wits about them, and when it comes time for election, they elect a much better individual, someone who's, remember Giuliani. Maybe not him because he's too old, but someone of that caliber, of that ilk. And they switch some of the council seats and the alderman in their case. And these people get to work and they reverse the policies of, let's say, of Mayor de blah blah. And the city gets turned around. The people start working again. The businesses open back up and New York becomes the great city that we all and most of us love. And it just comes, we replace those who are doing evil, and we ourselves do what is right, or put those in position to do the right thing and reverse the policies. It was done before and it will be done again.
Well, it'll take a lot for New York because New York is pretty far gone. And I will say this to you, Ron. I'll make a statement to you, and I hear everything you just said,
sure.
but my guess is, I don't think New York will be New York again for the rest of our lifetimes.
Oh, I disagree.
I figured you would. Yeah.
Oh my God, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, that's
I disagree so strongly.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I disagree with you as well, but that's perfect. we're supposed to disagree. I don't think it will be the same. Probably in our lifetimes is would be my educated guess right now. Looking at the damage, the city is pretty far gone now. And it would take a major thing. And in order to make the changes you talk about with the legislators there and the mayor, first of all, you've got to be able to get that door open. And the people don't seem to be embracing any of that. They keep going with the far left socialist policies. And so you got to be able to turn the corner at some point. It's hard to do that, Ron, when
done before.
Well, it was, but things have never been, we've never seen it this low. And as you just described a moment ago, the COVID event was the perfect storm for someone like Mayor de Blasio to take that environment and kill it, absolutely kill it. And he has killed it. And there are so many de Blasios around our country right now. It's pretty sick and sad all at the same time. So anyways, let's put that all over to the side because we're not going to solve New York today for
but Malcolm,
sure.
Can I say something very quickly about New York? Even during this scamdemic, huge mega building projects are being executed because they know, those developers know that this too shall pass. And New York, the framework is there for this city to turn around, and she will turn around much quicker than a lot of people think. Yeah. Once the administration is changed, because the bedrock is already there. I mean, it's not like it's been deserted for 20 years and it's all one.
Right. Understood.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. So, understood. So
I want to throw that in there.
Yeah. That's terrific. That's fine. Yeah. No, I mean, God willing, you are correct with what you say there. And I pray that that will happen. I'd love to see New York be vitalized again. I'm not feeling it, however. But I wish I could tell you I was. And only because, you know, my son said to me the other day, a couple weeks ago, actually, he said, I took both of my two teenagers to a beautiful Manhattan Christmas, and we had a wonderful time back about, I'm going to say probably about 7-8 years ago. And it was magical. It was just a dream. In fact, listen to this, Ron. We ended the we went to multiple places, and the whole thing, the skating ring, Rockefeller Center, all of the various trimmings, the theater, the play, the Rockettes. And then listen to this. We ended that trip with staying in, guess what, Ron Edwards, a Trump hotel. And my kids never forgot it. It was a beautiful trip. And they said, so they always, it was probably their best trip, and they've been to places, but they really liked that one. So my son said to me the other day, could we go to New York again, Dad, this year for Christmas? He's dying to do something unique because of COVID. It's warped everybody's minds. It's knocked everybody down a few pegs, you know? And he said, could we go do something like that? And I'd love to go to New York again. And I looked at him and I said, son, New York is not the New York that was there when we went there 7 years ago. No, it is a different New York today. I said, you would not recognize it. And no, we do not want to go to New York. That's not
tell your son. Tell your son, a little guy he's never met, named Ron Edwards, that New York will be back and he will have fun there again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he very well may, I don't know, but we'll see what happens. As an optimist, I wish I could hold your hand and join praise with you about New York, but I'm not feeling it, Edwards. So let's move it along now and talk about being thankful, okay? And so, which is the essence of even the article you have in the last few minutes, I want to talk to you about being thankful. And one of the areas, let's each put a real world idea out there. And what I want to share with folks is this, you know, there's a lot of things happening outside your window today, things you can't control, people, whether it's the political leaders again, or the plight of a city like a New York or whatever it might be, that is horrific. It's depressing. It's sad. It pulls you down. And there's a lot of depression out there right now. And again, it's all outside your window. And so here's what my best advice to everybody is. Get back inside your window for those times when you need to recharge your soul. Everything about your environment can be perfect if you make it that way. And what I mean by that, it's all in your control. One of the ways we do this, or I always do this in my life, is you embrace the moment. Embrace the moment that is, make it the best moment it can be. It doesn't, it's not about having everything or having nothing. It's about embracing. It's got nothing to do with even material things, but it's about making that moment the very best that it can be. You raise the value, appreciate the people that are there at the moment, and make it the best, whatever it's going to be. Just make it the very best, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Even if it's picking up sandwiches at a drive-thru, whatever, and you come back, just celebrate that moment of specialness. And make that inside your window, that specialness of that moment. Embrace the people, and I always try to make things special that are around me, whatever degree it is, make it the very best moment it can be. And that's how I see that. Ron, what's your Shira's? Give us an idea here, how to be thankful, please.
By the way, I loved your take on it, on being thankful. I'm thankful for the wonderful dad that I had, who taught me to love and appreciate this great nation, and to always fight for the good. I'm thankful for the fact that I still know many wonderful fellow Americans who, like me, love this country and want to see her turned around, and will see that turned around in the not-too-distant future. I'm very thankful that I have my health and my strength, and that I know great Americans like yourself, Malcolm, and many others out there who are doing the yeoman's work to get not only get the truth out, but who live it. And through that, those actions, we will see this nation turned around. And I'm just very thankful that we have the chance to do this, that we're in this time in history, this seminal moment of history, that will be written about 100 years from now, how we restored this republic. And for generations to come.
Amen. Amen, Ron Edwards. And wow, that is well said. He has, we're speaking with Ron Edwards. He, you know, he said it a very interesting way at the end there. And as you know, my friends, how I always say, how many times have I told you we're living in historical moments of time? We truly are. This is a very unique moment of time. That is a blessing when you think about it in those terms, which is why I always also say to you that Donald Trump was also a very unique president in our lifetime right now. And I look again, I look at it as the bookends back to number 40 with Ronald Reagan and number 45 with Donald Trump. And we had 30 years of Marxist communist programs in there with Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama. And but the silver lining is on both sides of that. And it is really to keep America on the straight and narrow in the chart and the course forward. We tend to correct ourselves in this nation. When we take a couple of steps back, we have to fix that. And we could, it's a corrective measure is what I see. And we recorrect the course. And we're doing that again. Now, I'm going to be very interested to see what happens between now and the end of January. You heard Ron's prediction there. I don't make that same broad prediction because I cannot. And I've heard others say what Ron says, and I'm hopeful for that, although I really do not know what is in store and what will take place. I report to you everything that is happening on a daily basis, and we will see where the chips fall. And again, whether the good and evil fight plays out there or whether there is some divine intervention again. We'll leave you with that thought. That should make you think a little bit as well, by the way. So makes me think. We shall see what happens. But I can't make other forecasts I can't control because I don't really know. But I'm going to be very curious where we fall come the end of January. And I have stated before to you that we could very well end in a confrontational moment in this nation because of that very serious divide. We really don't know what's going to happen here. We have fought the fought before, and we have risen above and risen to the occasion. And potentially that may be, again, what happens. It's hard to say. There's a lot of people in my ears with a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas. Some people are ready to take on get on the streets and make it happen. And other people want to pull within themselves. At the end of the day, we live in this beautiful land we call America. And I wish you the best of times and the best of holidays here. Thank you again, my fellow Americans, for joining me. Remember, it's time to get involved and get loud.